Hey everybody, it's really good to see you all at Werribee Baps. Even though I can't actually see you, I'm just looking at you through the camera lens. I'm really grateful for this chance to be able to share a little bit with you about some things that are really important to me and to be able to do it from one of our offices here at The Well. So thanks so much for giving me this chance, and I hope we can see each other in person really soon. So today, Stan asked me to talk to you a little bit about resilience and about my experiences with that in the context of the counseling work that I do, and also a little bit from scripture. So actually, I'm really excited to share about this. And I want to start with the topic of suffering and hardship. I wish that I was there so I could get you to like raise your hand, but I'm wondering how many of you have ever suffered or felt like you went through hard times. Okay, I'm assuming that everybody's raising their hand. I certainly am. And I'm wondering if in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of hardship, if you've ever felt a sense that you were going to drown in that suffering, if it was going to overwhelm you or overtake you, if you've ever had that sense that you wouldn't recover from this. It kind of reminds me a little bit of something that happened to me quite a few years ago when we went up to Wollongong to do some training with SIM. And one day, our family and all the other families we were with went out to the beach to have a swim. They had set up the flags to show which areas of the water you could swim in because the rip was really strong. And all the other men, all my mates, like they went out maybe 50 meters from the shore and were just swimming and having a great time and chatting with each other and splashing in the waves and stuff. And I was like, I want to go out there with them. But I'm actually not a super strong swimmer. And so as I was sort of paddling my way out, the waves were really pulling at me. And after a few minutes, I realized I hadn't actually made any progress. In fact, I was further away from them than when I started because the rip had started to pull me away, certainly out of the area of the flags. So I kept struggling a little bit more. I thought, okay, I'll try to make it. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I was getting really tired. And I started to think, I'm so tired. I'm actually far from my mates. I'm really far from the shore. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get out of here. I turned back to head back to the beach. But even then, the waves were just sucking me under each time I was getting tossed around. And I thought, am I even going to make it back to the beach? The rip is like really pulling on me. This is kind of what I think a lot of us have been feeling in recent times. And this is what I'm talking about when I ask, have you ever felt like suffering or hardship is going to pull you under? When our first son, Leaf, was born, he had to be in hospital in the ICU for about 2 weeks. And that was one of the most horrible times of my life because we thought maybe he was going to die. He had this genetic disease, and I had never experienced anything like that. And I kept wondering, is my life ever going to be normal again? Am I ever going to feel happy? Am I ever going to get out of this? I think that suffering is something that we all have to experience. And suffering is something that can at times come to really like define us or overwhelm us. This is why so many people who come to meet with me here at The Well to get counseling, whether they be missionaries serving in Asia or whether they be Thai people living in this local area, they come because they are feeling the same thing that I think I've felt and that I know many of you have felt, that suffering or hardship is overwhelming them, that they won't be able to escape from it, that it has come somehow to define who they are. So at this point, I was going to say something really profound and professional sounding about what the word resilience means. Because, you know, I'm a counselor, I'm supposed to be the expert. But honestly, each time I tried to do it, I came up looking more and more like an idiot. The thing about resilience is that it looks different in many different situations. When I think about all the clients that I've met with here at The Well, and when I think about my own life and the people that I've known, resilience really doesn't have one particular face. I think a good way to describe this would be to think of resilience in terms of the materials that we use to build the world. So rubber is a really resilient material because when it sustains some kind of impact, it can bend and then it can resume its original shape really quickly, which makes it great for making balls out of and for making tires on cars. But can you imagine if we made the frame of a car out of rubber? It would be a really poor material for that, especially if you got into an accident. It would bend and the people inside would be crushed. So this is why we make the frame of cars out of steel and other hard metals because they are really resilient in that situation. But if you imagine making roads out of steel, the roads that we drive our cars on, just imagine how warped and strange they would become in the heat and in the changing temperatures. Just imagine like how rusted they would get after just a few weeks. So steel is not a resilient material in the case of a road, but it's great for the frame of a car. And this is kind of the same with people. We are not inherently resilient or not resilient as individuals, but we can have resilience in each individual situation, each individual hardship that we encounter. And we're going to have different kinds of resilience to meet with different kinds of situations. My wife Erica used this definition, which I really liked. She said, "Resilience is not overcoming hardship or pain. Resilience is not being overcome by it." One thing that is probably most important when it comes to being resilient in any kind of suffering or any kind of hardship is community. In fact, this has been found by numerous studies, and it's been found in my personal experience as a counselor, and even when I'm talking to some of my colleagues, they say the same thing. Having community is almost the most important thing that a person can have to protect them against being crushed or overwhelmed or overcome in the face of hardship. When I was out there in the waves, part of what made that so scary is that I was all alone. I was kind of in a no man's land. You know, the guys were all out swimming out there, and everybody else was back on the beach, and I didn't know if anybody could see me, if anybody even knew I was there. I felt totally alone in the waves and in the ocean. And the thing that actually helped me so much was this young surf lifesaver, probably 18 or 19 years old, I don't know, but he came out on his wave ski and swam up to me, and there I was, sort of, trying to stay above the waves, and he just looked down at me and said, "You all right, mate? Need any help?" And you know, there I was, kind of struggling, and I looked up at him and I said, "Yeah, no worries. Totally okay." And so then he swam off, much to my dismay. But to be honest, just seeing another human face and just knowing that someone had seen me, that someone knew what I was going through, made the world of difference to me. And actually, from that point, I was able to, you know, kind of struggle my way back to the beach. And I think that is a good illustration of why a community is so important, because when we feel that we're alone, we are much more susceptible to be crushed by the things that hurt us or that are happening to us. This is completely true when I think about people who have met with me who are thinking about ending their own life. The biggest thing that can protect them, that can keep them safe from dying, is actually the people that are around them. And actually, this is one thing that many of the missionaries that come to meet with me here at the well have struggled with, because often they are living in places where no one else believes in Jesus, where no one else really understands. Often they are trying to learn a new language, maybe two or three new languages in a few cases, and they feel really isolated and really alone. And probably the group that feels the most isolated and the most alone, in my experience, have been some of the stay-at-home moms who are serving God overseas with young kids. And I know that Erica, my wife, would tell you the same thing, that coming to Thailand, being in a place where she didn't know anybody, she didn't know the language, being here with little kids, and in her case, actually a newborn baby, was one of the most isolating and lonely experiences that she's ever been through. And this is a story I've heard from a lot of people who've come to meet with me, actually in these offices, is just that sense of loneliness and how significant that is for them in the midst of their suffering. This sense of the importance of having community was something that I also learned when Leaf was born and he was in the hospital. Having my parents nearby, having people from our church come to visit us in the hospital was so significant. It was one of the main things that kept us going. And in some ways, and this is something that I want to point out in this sermon, in some ways, having those people's help was really important and really significant. Having them bring meals and provide those things for us was important. But what really mattered the most was a sense of belonging, which is just what Erica would tell me. It wasn't just that she needed people to like help her out. She needed that. But much more than that, she needed to feel like she belonged. She needed to feel like there were people who could see her. And this is something that's been so hard, I think, for all of us in the last year and a half, since the pandemic really began. It's felt more and more difficult to connect. And for some of the people that come and meet with me at the well, some of these missionaries, they actually experience this almost every day and every year of their life, where they struggle to connect, and the people that they feel closest to, the community that they feel they belong in, is far away. And the only way they can connect with those people is via like a Zoom call or by talking to a camera like I'm doing right now. Some of us, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, are disconnected from people not because of circumstances necessarily or because of distance, but because of barriers that we feel are between us and the community we might want to be a part of. And a lot of these barriers come down to feeling a sense of shame, feeling a sense of exclusion, or feeling a sense of embarrassment, maybe feeling that we're a burden to other people. And these things can really get between us and the communities that might help us to feel we belong or might embrace us. So what can we do if community can be so difficult to get a hold of? And community is one of the most important things that can help us to get through hardship and not be overcome by it, but to be resilient. How are we supposed to survive? Well, I want to share a couple of scripture passages with you that talk about at least two things that Jesus gives us that can really help us to feel this sense of belonging, feel this sense of community. So the first one comes from the book of John, chapter 15, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, in fact, right before he died. And right at the end of this passage that I'm going to read, in chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus says this, "And this I have told you, so that you will not fall away." So everything that Jesus is about to say, what I'm about to read to you, are the things that he told his disciples to help them not fall away, to help them be resilient. In chapter 15, he says this, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey your teaching also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." I assume you'll agree with me that our culture, certainly in Western culture, is one that really doesn't like suffering. In fact, in many ways, we have kind of geared our whole culture around trying to relieve suffering or take suffering away or take hardship out of our lives. We have all these inventions and all these creations that we have made for ourselves to make our lives easier and more painless. And the internet is full of ways for people to complain about how they shouldn't be suffering. Our culture is really geared towards this idea that suffering is not okay and we shouldn't have to go through it. And in fact, there's something kind of biblical about this. If you look at Jesus' ministry, like he spent a lot of time relieving suffering by healing people of their sicknesses, by forgiving people of their sins, by helping people to feel a sense of love and belonging in him. And that's actually why I got into counseling in the first place, actually, is because I wanted to follow Jesus in relieving people's suffering. But this is actually also kind of a trap, because when I have someone sitting in front of me who's talking to me about how much pain and hardship they are experiencing in their life, it can be really tempting for me to just want to try to take that away. But if you look at Jesus' ministry, he didn't do that. Not for everybody. And in fact, there are many ways in which he made his life harder for himself, and he made his life harder for his disciples. I mean, it ended with him dying. And right before he went to the cross, he begged his Father, "Please, take this away from me. Take this cup away from me." And you know what the Father told him? No. Jesus entered into his suffering, and he asked his disciples to do the same. And that's why, in these verses, he was giving them ways that they could hold firm, that they could stand fast in the face of difficulty and suffering. He wanted them not to fall away. So the first thing is that maybe some of our hardship or maybe some of our suffering as Christians comes from the fact that we feel rejected for our faith. It comes from the fact that we feel the world around us is not really honoring what we think is the right way for our culture to be. Perhaps some of our suffering comes from the changes that we're seeing, our culture moving away from sort of a quote-unquote Christian way of doing things. Maybe this is where some of our frustrations, our hardship, or our suffering comes from. And if that's the case, then we need to remember that we are not greater than our master. They persecuted Jesus for these things. Of course they're going to persecute us. Of course the culture around us is going to hate us or think that we're stupid or think that we're ignorant for believing the things that we believe. And so if that's part of the suffering that you're experiencing, just remember what Jesus said so that you will not fall away. But actually, I think there's something true about this in suffering more generally. And I think it would help if we had a look in Romans 8. That's something that Paul said. So in Romans 8, verses 14 and following, he said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, namely heirs of God and also fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that our present sufferings cannot even be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God." This is a big deal. And this is what Paul is saying to us here that is so profound to me. That our suffering is actually part of our inheritance. We have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. And part of the inheritance that we receive in our adoption in Christ is suffering. Now, maybe that's not an inheritance that you were hoping for. Maybe that's not an inheritance that you looked for. But it is part of our inheritance. In the book of John, in those passages that I read from John, Jesus is saying, "I have called you into this. You are not greater than your master. If I've suffered, of course you're going to." And this is what is written in the book of Hebrews, actually. We do not have a great high priest who cannot relate to us because he also has been through all the things. He has experienced all the temptations and all the sufferings that we have experienced. So this is the first thing that Jesus invites us to remember that he understands. When I was struggling in the waves and I finally made it back to the beach and then everybody else came in, I told actually this story of how scared I was to some of the people who were there with us, and they didn't say, "Oh, you wuss, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you just swim out? What's wrong with you? You're a terrible swimmer. Oh, you're an idiot." They didn't say that, actually. They were really nice people, and they said instead, "Oh, yeah, I've experienced that. That rip can really get you. If it grabs you, you get so tired, it's hard to stay afloat. I know exactly what you're talking about." And that made me feel so much better to know that those around me were experiencing the same things I was. And this is the empathy that Jesus can offer us. Because he also has experienced this. That's what Paul's saying. If we suffer like Christ, because Christ has suffered, then we are part of his family. But the second thing that he offers us is, I think, even more significant than his empathy. The second thing he offers us is an inheritance of suffering. When we suffer, we can know that this is part of being in God's family. This is part of belonging to him. And our suffering can actually remind us not only that Jesus has also suffered and he knows what it's like, it can remind us that he has called us out, that we belong to him. And just like him, we can call God, the God who created the universe, our Father. And Paul says we can call him Abba or Daddy. That's how close we are. And when we suffer, that stands to remind us that we are his children. This is our inheritance that he's given us. There was a study done a number of years ago, actually, of families that had resilience. And in this study, they found that the families that were most resilient were the families that told a double story about themselves. They told the story that we are a family who has been through tough times, and we are a family who has been through great times. And those are the most resilient families. Because when you belong to a family like that, where the stories about your family are of both hard times and good, then when you go through hard times, you realize, oh yeah, this is what it means to be part of this family. Our family has survived this. Our family has gone through this. And when you go through great times, times of joy, that also feels like what it means to be in that family. And that is what Paul is saying. He's saying that you have been given a spirit of adoption. You are joint heirs with Christ in both his suffering and in his glory. Can you believe that? In his suffering and his glory. This is a double inheritance. And when you suffer, you can remember that that suffering, this groaning of the earth, means that you are part of Jesus' family. You are like his little brother or his little sister. And you can call out to God, Abba. You can call him Daddy. I think that's incredible. And that's kind of what I'm getting at here in terms of all this stuff about community and a sense of belonging. Because we don't suffer without meaning. If we take part in this whole culture of like trying to get rid of suffering out of our lives, trying to take it away, then suffering just becomes this meaningless thing. If I, as a counselor, just try to take my client's suffering away, if I try to just make everything better for them, then their suffering doesn't mean anything. But in Christ, we have a suffering that is very meaningful. It tells us that we are not greater than our master, that we have one who has called us, who has also suffered. He knows what it's like. And it also tells us that we belong to his family. We belong to God. So what can we do? How can we apply this? Well, there are two things. One is to remember. Remember that the master who called you has suffered just like you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And two, remember that your suffering is part of your inheritance. It's part of what it means to be in the family of God. And your suffering is leading to glory. Because if you suffer just like Christ did, it means you are going to have glory just like Christ did. And the second thing, beyond remember, is to remind each other. It's really hard to feel a sense of belonging, to feel like we're a part of a community just by sort of thinking it in our minds. It's a lot easier to feel like we belong when our brothers and sisters in Christ can be Christ for us. So there's a few ways we can do this for each other. We can do just what Jesus did, and we can tell each other that we know what it's like, that we've been there. And this can be a huge, huge blessing. I know that Erica and I have experienced this blessing many times when other parents have told us about the struggles that they've had with their kids, about times they were scared, just like we were, that their child might die, about the suffering of having a child with a disease. That empathy has gone a long way in helping us not to feel alone. So we can do that. We can be Jesus for each other in that way. The other thing we can do is we can embrace one another. We can accept each other. We can let each other know that we really are part of the same family. And in this way, we can give each other the feeling that we belong, that we have community. This is how we're going to be resilient, guys. This is how we can survive through the hardships, the waves, the rip that life brings us. Thank you so much for letting me share some of these thoughts with you. I pray that God will bless you and keep you, that he will constantly remind you and prompt you to remind each other of your belonging. And don't forget that you can always call out to your daddy in heaven.